Blog Talk Radio.
I confess, SOS, I need you daily. Can't lie, say the pain don't faze me. My God, who gon' help these babies?
My.
I've been in the fire so long, I can't get burned no more. I thought you was putting out the flame, but it was rain from the storm. Thoughts over my head, making me stress all day long. They won't let me rest, hands on my chest, I ain't that strong. I need a lifeline right now, 911 won't do. My back against the wall now, done all that I could do. I prayed every prayer, went through every service like I know how. Just a ship without a sail, I'm lost without your help. But it ain't about my will, it's all about what you want. Your family used to be first, things getting worse in my home. My brother is hurt, we need a word, it's too far gone. I need a lifeline right now, 911 won't do. My back against the wall now, done all that I could do. I prayed every prayer, went through every service like I know how. Just a ship without a sail, I'm lost without you.
Help now, see, I feel left out, I can't tell my right from my left now. But my mama's crying cause my daddy's dying, he got pains all in his chest now. My daughter's having these nightmares, I might be wrong but I'm right here, yeah. I'm trying to hold on when my hands hurt or the ropes out, cause when life fights, it don't fight fair. So I'm leaning all on these ropes now, and I got hope, but it's low now. So I'm leaning all on these quotes now, like never leave me, won't forsake me. If you don't help me, I don't make it.
To the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening and God bless you, everyone. This is Apostle Cook, hallelujah, a.k.a. the Bishop. And it blesses my soul to welcome all of you here tonight, to every man standing in his place for this Friday, July the 8th, 2022. Now, my brothers and sisters, please prepare to hear a word from your anointed facilitator and host, my brother and my friend, Pastor Jeffrey Scott. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Bishop Cook. Thank you again for this opportunity. I thank God for you and, you know, that he uses you in the way that he does and just allows this platform to stand on his word in all different situations. And so I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate you, and I love you. God bless each and every one of you that are listening right now and those that will be listening in the future. And as always, we want to start off with a word of prayer. If we could bow our heads and close our eyes. Our Father, we come to you this evening just thanking you for this day. Father God, we ask that you just continue to be with us, lead us and guide us in the way that you would have us to go. Father God, we ask that a word from you would touch someone's heart right now. Father God, we know that there are things that are going on in the lives of the young people these days. There are different things that are sidetracking and taking their mind elsewhere. But Father God, we know that your word is the word that can guide and lead them to what you would have them to be. Father God, there's a lot of people that don't know their purpose. And they'll give up before they even meet their purpose. But Father God, we ask that you just give someone a word right now that may be on the edge.
Yes.
That may be ready to give up. Father God, just give them a word from you that can give them the encouragement to keep going and to keep moving in the way that you have called them to move, Father God. Give them strength right now. Give them encouragement. Mm-hmm. And Father God, I ask that you touch each and every one of us that is going to be on the line today. Touch Servant Virgil, Father God. I ask that you just touch my cousin right now, Father God. Give him a word.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, we ask that you just touch Sister Mati right now, that you just touch her, Father God, and just continue to strengthen her in a way that only you can. And Father God, we pray that you just strengthen and touch Bishop Cook right now. Just give her the word from on high that you would have her to give to your people, Father God. And also, Father God, lest I forget, touch me, Father God. Touch my mouth, Father God.
Lord.
I step back.
You
be that encouragement for somebody that doesn't know you and a partner of their sin. And Father God, also, even if they know you, sometimes we get weak, Father God. We get in despair sometimes, and we don't know what to do. We're at indecision. But Father God, we ask that you just continue to keep us within your will, Father God. Just to keep that light shining on our path so we'll know which way to go. And Father God, we pray that everything that is done and said will be pleasing in your sight. For it is in Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen.
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 God bless you. God bless you, everyone. Welcome to Every Man Standing in His Place. And today we have... We're going to be talking about it's a topic that has been pressed upon my heart, and when I talk to the others that are involved, it was on their heart as well. Which one is my cousin servant Virgil Carter, and I'm so thankful to have him with me. His wisdom and knowledge in the Word of God and how to process it with the things that are going on today is only God sent. Only God can do that, and He does that through Him. And I'm just honored to have Him on today. Sister Matt T, you know, with her personal experiences, and you know, I'm just, you know, so glad in her walk with God. She's one that always will check on me and my family when she knows that there are things going on. She will call,
yes,
and she will ask me,
yes,
"Am I okay? And is my family,
yes,
okay?"
Praise God.
And so you know, I'm real thankful about that, because you know, sometimes there are things that happen in our lives, and only a few people may know about it. But then God presses upon somebody's heart that may not even know about the situation, but still checks in. And that's a good thing, because that's one of the things we're going to be talking about, is checking in on people that are seemingly strong, but are holding their own self up,
yes,
with no hope, but just hanging on by a thread.
Yes.
And so, you know, this is a topic that is very serious, and we're going to be talking about teen and young adult suicide, and you know, which we know has been happening more and more these days, and it's not just the fact that someone would take their own life, but sometimes it involves somebody else that they are trying to force to take their life. And so, and I'll explain that even more so, because sometimes there are things there are ways that people try to do things because they don't want to do them themselves, but they just want it done because they have no hope. No hope. But
yeah,
we have to be that light. We have to be the ones that are going to let this next generation know that there is hope. You know, the way things are going on now, it seems like everything is in a tailspin. Everything is going down. It's like, you know, we've had, you know, especially since this COVID situation happened, people have been going through depression. They've been going through isolation. They've been going through so many different things, and it seems like to them, life is almost over. And it's like they want to give up. But we know that God can make a way out of no way. Sometimes he has to allow it to get to no way that we can see for him to be able to move in the capacity that he's trying to move in our lives, so we could just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Yes.
You know, we won't be able to see it if we're moving and trying to do things the way we want to do them. So God is just saying, Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Understand that he's going to work everything out.
Yeah,
because it's beyond us. But right now, we're going to just basically have like a forum. We're going to just we're just going to be conversing. We're going to be talking. Just about different situations, and just trying to bring some clarity and and bring God's word into this, to where we can understand that that our hope is not in the things that we see, but our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in Christ Jesus. It's not in what we can do as far as you know, being successful, making money, and all of this kind of stuff. That's our hope is, it shouldn't be tied up into that. Our hope is in Christ. And in Christ, we are new creatures. And if we are new creatures, then our mindset is turned away from thinking that the things of this world is going to be the things that are going to build us up. You know,
yes.
So there's a lot of things going on here, but I actually want to just bring in my cousin Virgil right now, just so he could, you know, I want to introduce you to him. And the best way to really introduce somebody is to allow them to speak.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Can I be heard? God bless you. I didn't.
Yes, of course you can.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Okay. Good. Good. Yeah. I know. I thought I might have to put some welcome greetings to everyone. Thank you for having me. I've been familiar with your names. Some of your faces I've never seen, but God bless you for the sound of your voice and the fellowship, as the Bible says, to pray for all saints all over. And one of my favorite scriptures, and not to speak too long, is 1 Peter 5:8-9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. And then this last part, which is so simple, it brought me out of a lot of things, especially when I was a teenager and when you don't know the knowledge that we have today and the tricks that the enemy can play from the lack of your knowledge, because he's an accuser. He's an accuser, and he can really send you through a lot of depression, and especially of things we don't know. And that's why even God said, above all, the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts. But that last part of 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And that gave me a lot of comfort, because one of the things the enemy tries to do, and I'm quite sure some of you will speak on this from your experiences more so than me, is when he can make you feel alone, like you're the only one. Why me? And you think other saints are not going, no, God is blessing them. God is hearing them. God, and you don't know that other saint, such as yourself, such as something you on this phone, people don't think that leaders go to it, because we're always on the up and up, and we're the leaders, and we have to stay presentable and putting ourselves in a position to let you know and to feed. But the enemy, as the devil says, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? And the way is, if you don't know the Lord, my focus is not on you as much as it is on Brother Jeffrey, on sister on the phone, and some of you in the background, because you're doing something, and you're doing so. We are the threat. So we go through more than the people we help oftentimes. And so therefore, Peter says that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren, meaning brother, meaning the saved, meaning don't think you're alone. Pray for somebody. Do what you're doing. The Bible says when Moses, I think this is in Job 42:10, when he prayed for his friends, God turned everything around. He didn't pray for himself. Yes. Of course, he did at some point. But sometimes you got to show God, I know you're going to take care of me, but maybe you'll bless somebody else like you're doing. Maybe if I serve and do something and bless, it shows God that you're here, even though he was silent. Maybe you're not coming through for me right now, but I know you're there, and I pray for somebody else. Because if you didn't think God was there, you wouldn't be praying for somebody else, because you would become an atheist. So one of the things that come to mind, and I won't take up too much, but I'm just something that came to mind, three things that came to mind when Jeffrey told me about this. And to be honest with you, I didn't study for this. I didn't let me do some. We all have experience, especially at our age. I'm 58. Some of you are younger. Some of you are older. God has us here for a reason. He has us here. And one of the things to bring in mind is three synonymous things came to mind that is so practical. It's Paul. And we all know this, even without turning to it. I know you know this, because these are the basics. When Paul was in prison, a man was going to commit suicide. He was going to fall on his sword.
Right.
Angel had put everybody to sleep, and they were all asleep. Paul didn't go anywhere. He could have escaped and says, okay, whatever happens to you. But he said something that really is a message. After he knew that this guard was going to commit suicide, and of course we knew that was because all hope, it's all about hope. In his world, he knew that the penalty for prisoners escaping and for sleeping or whatever would have been death anyway. So he had nowhere to go, no door to go through. The world that he lived in had, it's all about no hope. And of course that's what the enemy wants. But Paul says something that we all, this is for, it's more than just geographical. Paul said, we are all here. And he didn't mean that just geographic, because Paul could have left. What God is saying, what Paul is also saying for all of us is God is leaving you alive. Sometimes I'm quite sure some of you on this phone, I don't know about you, but I've actually wanted the Lord to take me a few things. Like, long as I go to heaven, I don't care about long life. I'm going through, just take me on to heaven now. But you wake up, you feel it. And I tell you, God has a purpose for your wisdom, your old age. And what Paul is saying is we are here because if we're not here for the people on suicide lines or lines like this in the world, the light of the world, he leaves us here for somebody else in that cell or in that situation where they figuratively is going to fall on their sword in one way where they're through. They see no way out of their life. They see, I mean, R. Kelly just got 30 years, and they said they put them on, whenever you get a number of years, they put you on suicide watch, whether you like it or not, because they know they just snatched all the hope of everything once you get that sentence. And another scripture, the three of these that go together, and I'm going to turn the floor over so I won't hog it so much, but they go together so well in terms of a loss of hope. And you know these off the top of your head. When Paul was on the boat and Paul was a prisoner and they were being transported and it was a major storm, it says, when they saw neither sun nor stars for many days, all hope was lost. And that was the unsaved. Paul stood up after long abstinence. I mean, he didn't say nothing because he was just a number. You ain't got no power. Some people won't listen to you until they go through a trial or tribulation. What you've been trying to say to them, all since they had the money and everything else, they won't listen. And you're nobody because we don't have the education that some people, and we might have the degrees. But when God sets them down and takes all the hope from them and the things that they rely upon, they relied upon the stars and sun like Harriet Tubman did for the north and the three wise men that came to see where the sun set over Jesus' head. They relied. That was their 401K, in other words. That was what they relied upon, even earthly, to give them hope. And God snatched that from them for a reason. But then they don't have God. Now you don't have God. But Paul was on the boat to say, don't worry, the angel have talked to me, and none of your hairs shall be whole. In other words, what's synonymous about those stars? We got to be there. Because God is going to shake up the world, just like the COVID and stuff is going on, where they don't have no hope. Why? Because their name ain't written in the book of life. They don't know Jesus. And when everything temporal they ever relied upon fails, and their money, their things, their riches, and everything else, that's when they're ready and the devil will be to move in for them to commit suicide. And that's when we are still here to try to catch them with the words, the tracks, and maybe the seed that you already planted last week. Even if they rejected you, you gave them something so they move into a new hope that they can stand on in Christ. And, of course, the main one, and I'm going to let you know this thing we all know about, was Judas. Judas committed suicide. He went in himself. Now think about it real quick before I turn this over. Everybody who's unsaved does not feel suicidal. Everybody who's unsaved don't commit suicide. But they don't know the enemy is setting them up to what Judas was relying upon. He wasn't relying upon God. He didn't have the faith that would keep him going through that trial, that test he would go through. But it said he was the treasure and he was taking the money. And then the enemy rolls up in him. But then here's the key. He tried. This is something that God revealed. If they would have taken that money back, he wouldn't, even though it was prophesied, Jesus knew the factors by which he would actually go, and he wasn't right. But they didn't take, oftentimes when the world rejects you, okay, you're not really into God, you're not in the church, but you have, the world has somewhere to go, just keep them occupied without feeling suicidal. But when you have no Jesus, now you don't have the world. They threw that back. What that meant was, he was in the darkest place and didn't have no God to go to. God was there, and I believe he could have been forgiven. But he had he built up no faith in that way. Now he was lying upon the world.
Lord have mercy.
One
Lord
of those
have mercy.
The same principle. He long as the world rejected him, and then they found out that they were lip-syncing. And that's what their sun and their stars was. That's what they relied upon. Judas was relying upon that to be a place he can go, and they rejected him. And the same thing as Milli Vanilli. If you don't have God, you have the world. If the world rejects you and you have no God, boy, we got to be there. And because if they have no
Lord
faith,
have mercy.
There's the darkness. Some of us, trials and tribulations where if you didn't have faith in God because the timing of what the enemy was lying to you about and how dark it seemed, if you believe in God, boy, if that's a time that we call evil day, that the enemy was trying to take you out in one way or send you back to the world and just be lost. Thank God for faith, as he told Peter. Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. And you know if he's trying to do it to the church, the world don't stand a chance. But he says, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But I pray to the Father that your faith, above all the weapons is faith. The world has faith in their money, the sun, the stars, the world. And when that get ready to fail, and it's all getting shaken up now through this time, like some of you know and Jeffrey has said, we got to be there. Like Paul said, do thyself no harm. We are all here to direct you. May God have a blessing.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That was beautiful. Amen.
God bless you. That was
God bless you.
That was a powerful word. That was very necessary. And it's was explained to the point where we all should be able to get that, you know, and get some strength from that. Understanding, like you said, you know, it's not in the it's not in the things of the world, but if you have no God, you turn away from God, and then the world rejects you as well. That is a dark place, and we need to be there for those that, you know, those that are seemingly like that, those that seem that they don't have hope, you know. And like in Romans, it says we were saved in this hope, but hope is not hope is not seen. It's what's seen is not hope. That's what it says. What's seen is not hope. And then it says, why do we still hope for what we see? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Understanding that we, in other words, we walk by faith and not by sight. There are some things that are placed before us that we see, and we want to attain certain things that we see, but that's not what our hope is in. Why are you going to hope for something that's already there, that is visible in front of you? You know, God wants us we're supposed to live by faith. We're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. So each step that we take is supposed to be a step of faith, not me planning out my trip where I'm going to walk to, but following the steps that are ordered by the Lord. That means that I may not see that there is a step there to make. I may not see that there's a solid ground to stand on, but if I step by faith, once I step out there, that solid ground is going to appear if I'm walking in the Lord. If I'm walking by faith, but see, you know, the thing is that newer generation, the younger generation, they've gotten so accustomed to seeing things and emulating things that they see and trying to grasp on to the things that they see, especially with the social media and everything. Virgin myself, we were talking a little bit earlier, and it's like everybody puts on social media, they put their best life, what they're living, the best things that are happening in their life, all of the good things that happen, they post that on social media. They even have different things where somebody will take a picture of their self and adjust it to make it look better than it actually really does, or I would say make it look different, you know. And the thing is that they will do that trying to show that their life or their situation is better than it really is.
Come on, tell the truth.
But the thing is that we have to understand that sometimes, you know, things aren't always the best. They aren't always we aren't always on smooth road. Sometimes we're on rough road. Sometimes we are struggling to do certain things. Somebody may post on and I've seen this before. I've seen people that would post something and it would be like they would be in front of a car. It wouldn't be their car, but they would just be happy to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, regardless of what the assumption that whoever looks at the picture is seeing, that they're seeing that, wow, this person is in front of this this expensive car and all this, wow, they got it going on, they got all of this and all that, not knowing that they caught the bus and got off of the bus and saw the car.
Mm-hmm.
And could they take a picture in front of it?
Uh-huh.
But they will post that just to give the idea of, you know, of their status. But what that does in turn is that makes some people that are living on edge, somebody that's having a tough day or somebody that's having a rough moment in their life, looking at somebody else and thinking that they're doing good, and then they may start thinking like Virgil said, like they're all alone, like this is just bad stuff happening to me. I'm the only one having a tough time. I'm the only one struggling. I'm the only one going through something at this point. And then you know, it gets to a point where that the hope starts turning into hopelessness.
Uh-huh.
It starts being good for everyone else and bad for them. You know,
amen.
And that happens. But again, it says, you know, we can't. And another thing is that you know, we have to really get our youth and young adults, you know, we have to get them to understand that it's not about it's not about all the earthly things that you accumulate, but it's about the hope in Christ. It's not you know, I win the lotto, or I hope I get this house, or I hope this. It's not about that. I mean, you can work to get that. You can work to get that home, but the hope is bigger than anything earthly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When Jesus had gave his life for those 3 days before he was resurrected, he was not seen, but there had to be a hope that he was coming back. There had to be a hope that he was going to be raised on the third day. That's why he was explaining everything that he was explaining.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
It's bigger than just life situations, because our youth haven't been in a situation that they're going to get into as they become older. Then they'll start finding out that what I went through back then wasn't really anything. You know, it wasn't that big. Now I'm dealing with some other things that I'm glad I didn't have to deal with those back then, because I sure would have, you know, tried to take my life. Well, I sure would have done something that I should not have ought to have done. You know, and there's some things that, you know, that people go through, and we meet them, or we may see somebody, we may run into somebody that is at a crossroad in their life, at a point of indecision. You know, they might just you know, be at the edge, or living on that edge, and be at that point. But do we have
a word for them? Do we have something that we could point them to that's going to direct them to God, that's going to allow them to see that God is greater than the situation that they're in? And I want to bring in Sister Mattie, if she could just share her experience that she had as she comes. I really appreciate you, and I love you, Sister Mattie, and thank you for coming on.
I love you and your family, too, and love Michelle, and I appreciate you, too, to the highest. And good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Mother Mattie.
Good evening. We love you,
Mother Mattie.
I love you, too, Bishop Cook, and Spirit Alive family. I love you all. God bless you all. Give an honor to Father God and King Jesus, who are the very head of my life. They're the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Giving all honor and all glory to them, because they're worthy to be praised. I had to go to Reed's Records. At that time, Reed's was open, and I bought communion. I had to buy communion bread, because we always supply the juice at my church. But this particular time, I had to buy communion bread. So I bought it. I come out the Reed store to the bus stop, and here come this young lady. She I thought she was in her 20s, but she could have been 18 or 19. I don't know. She's young. And she come to me, and she's talking about her boyfriend, how he abused her and hit her and talk about her, and she want to kill herself. And I'm looking at her. And it really frightened me. It scared me, because I'd never known nobody to tell me nothing like that. And I ministered to her in front of Reed's Records. And they'll never forget, I ministered to her on the street. And I talked to her and told her that the Lord loves her. The Lord loves you. No, you cannot kill yourself. Don't kill yourself. And I just ministered to her, you know, ministered to her, told her about the Lord. And told her that, you know, she's precious and God fights. God loves you. You cannot end your life. And I just ministered to her on the street, ministered to her about the Lord. And when I got through talking to her, when I got through talking to that young lady had, not only did she have new hope, but she had a better outlook of life. She was willing to live her life. And she said she was going to leave her boyfriend. That's what she said. She said she's going to leave him, and she was going to live her life. And she thanked me. She thanked me for talking to her, coming to her rescue. Nobody was on the street but me and her. God has somebody somewhere to help you. God has a ram in the bush. And at that time, it was me ministering to her, and I just ministered to her on the street like she was my daughter. And when she walked away, she thanked me, and I pray for that young lady. I pray that she's doing all right wherever she may be. She might not even live in that area no more, but I pray that the Lord keep his heavenly shield of protection around her, and I pray that she accept Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior. And I believe she did that day, and it was my mission by Father God to minister to that young lady like she was my daughter. And I have to say, young people, I always tell them to learn all they can in school. If they say they graduate and they go into college, I tell them to learn all they can. I said, but above all, pray and put God first. Put him first above all things.
Yes.
He will make the impossible possible.
Yes, Lord.
I pray for the young people. I pray for the children that are being abused physically, sexually abused. I pray for the little children that are in St. Jude in hospital, in children hospitals, and children that are well, children that are orphans. I pray for the little children who are gifts from God. They are gifts from God. But unfortunately, some children and young people are being mistreated. I don't know what kind of life, childhood that young lady had. But I pray that what I told her, she will carry that with her. And I pray that she accepts Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior. And I believe she did, because she was stronger than she was when she came to me. When she left, she had, God had given her that strength to conquer. the abuse that that man was giving her. So you know the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy and devour everything in his path. And it's our responsibility. If we're going to try to be Christians, we got to try to help and save somebody. All I could do is just minister to her as quickly as I can, because it really scared me to death. I talk about this every so often. I've never had nobody to tell me they're going to end their life, they're going to commit suicide. I'm like, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. I got to talk to this child, and I did. So I thank God for putting me in the position to help save her life at that time. I just thank God. And I can relate to what Brother Virgil is saying when he said he had been at the place he wanted the Lord to just take him away. I can relate on that, because when I lost my mother, I felt like my whole world was gone. See, I lost my father at 5 years of age. My mother was mother and father to me. And when she died, I said, Lord, you've taken my mother. And when she said, I'm going home. And I'm thinking she's talking about her residence here on earth. She said, no, I'm going home. Talking about being with the Lord. My heart just dropped. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. And I would tell myself, if I could have saved my mother's life, I would have been the one to die. I would rather die and let my mother live. But the Lord say, your mother was tired. She's ready to come home and be with me.
Mm-hmm.
I got work to do, Matisse. Got work for you to do.
Amen, Mother Maggie.
I will be with you. I will be with you. I will give you the strength to carry on. So as Christians, we got to teach our children, our young people, about God. There are children that never been in church. Young people that never been in church. They don't even know what church is. Some of them don't even know who God is. And it's our responsibility to teach them about the Lord. So I thank God for me being in that young lady's life at that time on the street, mm-hmm. ministering to her to save her life. I just thank God, and I pray for her.
Amen.
Pray that she's all right.
Amen.
And thank you. Thank you for
Amen.
Letting me share this.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Amen.
God is worthy. He's worthy.
Yes.
And when God has work for you to do, you got work to do. And I have to say this. I don't want to take too much time, everybody, but I woke up this morning thanking God and praising God for all that he have done for me. And I thought about the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They was put in a fiery furnace, and the man turned the furnace up. And the man looked in there. He didn't see three people. He seen four people.
Four.
The Lord was with them.
Four.
Not a hair on their head burned. Not even their clothes burned.
Amen.
That's the power of God.
Amen.
That's the power of God. That's what I'm talking about.
Amen.
So I just thank God. I just thank God. And I thank God
thank
for all
you,
of
Jesus.
You all. And I love you all.
Praise you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We praise
thank
God
you,
for you, Mother Matthew. Amen.
And thank you for Bishop Cook. God bless you. Love you. And Spirit Alive.
I love you.
Family. God bless you all.
Yes, we love you.
Amen.
Amen.
All
amen.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay, here I come. I'm coming on in the room. Praise God. First of all, we have heard some excellent word here on tonight. We have heard why some of these teens are committing suicide. We have talked about them. But now I want to talk to the parents, because today we have so many parents saying, what's wrong with these kids? What's wrong with these kids?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you parents, what are you pouring into these kids? You see, Proverbs 22 and 6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go. So even when he is old, he should not depart from it. And I did hear the word say in Ephesians 6 and 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now that means, fathers, that you first must be present so that you can be meaningful, active, and necessary in the lives of your children.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
You see, some of these children Although I agree, depression is a large component of why these young people are taking their lives. But a lot of these young people are taking their lives because they are angry. They are angry that you are not accountable and responsible to them. You brought them in this world.
But then
you live like you don't have to be accountable to them and responsible for them. The Word of God tells us that we need to encourage each other while it is still today. Now, if we're supposed to encourage one another as Christians, how much more so should we be encouraging our children every day? But what do we hear so much today? Oh, you're not, I don't want to hear that. I don't have time for that. Not now. I'm on TikTok. Don't bother me. And then you wonder why your child has a feeling of unworthiness. You're not encouraging your child. We're not encouraging our children. And stop trying to and stop turning your putting responsibilities on your children that your children shouldn't have. Mother, see, I'm going to tell you, what my mother, Shirley Snyder Mitchell, who is sitting in this assembly right now, told me when I was like seven. She said, the day that you bring a child into this world will be the day that you will be responsible and accountable to that child and take care of that child. Thanks to God, I don't have children to this day, okay? I believed her, okay? I'm telling you. We have got to stop having these children if we're not going to be responsible and accountable to them. If we are not going to nurture them, truly train them up, then I would suggest that you stop having all these children. Now, that might sound harsh, but that's the reality of the situation. Because, see, children, the Word of God tells us, children are a heritage from the Lord. They're the fruit of the womb. They are a reward. How are we, too many of us are not treating our children as if they are special, as if they are a reward, as if they are the heritage of God. And don't get me wrong, thank God. I'm not calling everybody bad parents. I'm just saying sometimes you need to stay your behind home from the church building and spend time with your child. Sometimes you don't need to be on that telephone or on that or watching that phone, but you need to be spending quality time with your child. Because as the brothers and mother have said, children feel alone. And when they feel alone, guess what? The reason the Word of God says we are to encourage each other is so that sin doesn't harden our heart. You know, when we don't pay attention to our children, we don't love and nurture our children. We're not responsible. We don't act like we're responsible for our children. And when I say responsible, I mean more than just putting a roof over their head, food in their mouth, and clothes on their back. You know, I'm talking about spending that quality time, pouring stuff into them, hearing what they have to say. Listening to what's going on. You know, encouragement means we're here, we're talking to them and he's listening to them with our heart. And not only are we concerned about what they do, say to God, we should be concerned about why they do what they do. That's where that accountability comes in. Why is my child doing what they're doing? Why is my child? Suddenly, my child is usually a happy, jovial child, and all of a sudden, my child wants to lock themselves in their room and get on that computer. What's wrong with my child? You know, no, we no longer can we just say, oh, she's just going through one of those phases. Oh, he's just going through one of those phases. Because, see, when we don't pay attention to our children, when we don't pay attention to more than what they're doing and find out why they're doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. We mm-hmm. might be the parent that's wondering why our child mm-hmm. has walked into a school and blown people away. Yeah. We can very mm-hmm. well be that parent that uh-huh. wonders why our children have anger problems and then uh-huh. commit and then finally what just wants to give up.
Uh-huh.
Parents, we have to, you know, the greatest prevention of teen suicide is you.
Yes.
It's mm-hmm. you.
Good parenting. Yeah.
Good mm-hmm. parenting. And let me tell you something. And like my mother said, you have a manual. You got the B-I-B-L-E. You know, Dr. Spock mm-hmm. can't tell you. Dr. Spock has never been on 98th Oakland, Jack. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I bet you Dr. Spock has never visited Martin Luther King Boulevard in downtown L.A., Jack.
Mm-hmm.
So he ain't going to do a real good job of telling you how to raise your children.
That's right.
But what you need to do, first, parents, is get into that word of God for yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right, instead of just turning your children mm-hmm. over to the internet, instead of just turning your children over to whatever the powers that be and praying by and hoping and praying that everything just turns out all right, you know,
mm-hmm.
that can't work. That won't work in 2022. It didn't work 2,000 mm-hmm. years ago. But the Lord demands that when we bring children into this world, we are to be responsible for them and accountable for them. And we're going to talk about this mm-hmm. some more in the Daughters of Naomi, because we have to know and understand. We mm-hmm. have to lead these children. We have to give these children their self-esteem. We shouldn't let them get mm-hmm. their perception of who they are, their identity, from what they see on mm-hmm. Facebook. We shouldn't allow them to compare mm-hmm. themselves to what they see on a television screen. See,
mm-hmm.
they should have ringing around in their ears is that they were fearfully and wonderfully made.
Wonderful.
Right.
And that they were made in the image of the Most High God.
That's
like
right.
my brother said, they should know that they were loved so much and they were valued so much by God
mm-hmm.
that he sent his son
That's right.
into the world to lay down
mm-hmm.
his life.
Mm-hmm.
So that they, all of us, hallelujah, might have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to thank Servant Virgil and Mother Matty and of course my brother, and we're going to hear from some of you that are sitting in the studio, or if you're in the chat room, if you would kindly press your one on your keypad, and if you would like to add to this conversation on teen suicide, because you know our babies, we have to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
They just
yes,
don't grow
do.
Up by themselves. Amen. Hallelujah.
Right.
All right. 317, last four digits, 8846. Come on in the room.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord,
the
Hawk Minister Tago. How
Lord.
Are you, precious?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm blessed, baby.
To everybody on the roster talking tonight, God bless you all.
God bless you.
I am very, very happy about this topic that you all are talking about tonight, because it involves me. Amen. I am a father. Three boys. And I told somebody one time that I'm raising boys to men.
Mm-hmm.
That might sound like a cliche, like, you know, the song group Boys to Men, but that's actually true.
That's real.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm
that's
like,
real.
I went through something with my middle son one time, and I listened to Bishop Cook when she was just talking, and like watching your children, and this past school year, my son was getting bullied at school, And all of a sudden he was, you know, at the beginning, he was all right. He was doing everything okay and everything. And then all of a sudden I started seeing him come home in the middle of the summer, a hoodie on. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? Like, that don't look right. And I asked him what was going on. He said, well, I was being bullied. I'm being bullied. They're talking about me and all this stuff. I marched right up there to that school, and I dealt with it because, like I told the school, I don't want him bullying anybody, and I don't want him being bullied either because that's where that stuff starts. All these school shootings and stuff, I've been bullied. I've been bullied through my life in school. And that's where some of these school shootings happen because these kids are getting bullied. These kids are getting talked about. These kids are being, you know, messed with at home and everything. So I understand. I could vouch for my son. And, you know, it's like you said, Bishop Cook, we have to learn how to step out of the church and go get these young people.
We have to come out of the church and go get these young people.
Because there's a lot of young people that are going into gangs that are picking up guns. And it ain't just people. It ain't just young kids shooting up schools. It's young kids killing young kids because of they don't have that structure in their life. And I'm going to say something to the fathers, and it might sound harsh, but be there for your child.
Yeah.
Be there for your child. Be there for you as a father to fathers, a father to a father. Be there for your children.
Yes, please.
Be there for you. That's the last thing I'm going to say is be there for your children. I have nephews right now that don't have their fathers in their life, and all they know was their grandfather and their uncles being their father figures in their life. And it's sad.
Yeah.
I'm happy that my nephews know us, like my brothers and my father, but they needed their daddy. They needed their father.
And I'm
saying this over the airways. Fathers, be fathers. Y'all sitting over here having children. Every which it's not. Look, my former pastor said one time, age don't make you no man. Having babies don't make you one, and having babies don't make you make it seem like you're accomplishing something having these kids. Oh, that's all I can do. I had my oldest nephew say that. No, that's not all you can do. The devil is a liar.
Amen.
The devil is a liar.
That's right.
When I had a talk with my nephew, my oldest nephew, because he's got two children, and he's 20, and I love him to life. And when I was talking to him, he said, well, Uncle, that's all I can do. No, you know, the devil is a liar. No, that's not all you can do.
That's
you can be something in life.
That's right.
And
that's
just
right.
Like I spoke over my children, I'm going to speak over you at the age you are.
That's right.
Speak that word.
Teach that word.
I'm sorry.
Amen.
I jumped in.
Don't be sorry. That's all good, Minister Tucker. We so glad you in here. You know, and you are a young man, a young father. So they need to hear a young father, you know, speaking the truth in love. Again, that's where real encouragement is speaking the truth in love. And again, that's you spoke so much because, you know, putting out false perceptions of any kind, you know, I'm holier than I am. I have more than I have. I'm doing better than I'm doing. You know, when you sit around and you gloat and you self-grandize and you boast in yourself, what you're doing is like Pastor Jeffrey said, is that you're making other people feel as though they lack, as though they are less.
Right.
You know, what we do must be real. It must be genuine. It must come from the heart. They have to know that we really do care about what they're thinking and what we are feeling. And what we have to do as adults is we have to stop putting undue pressure on children. We must be responsible and accountable for the children that we have. We cannot turn our children into glorified babysitters while we go out and do what we want to do. Well, my mother never did it to me. She always had my grandmother watch us. You know, she never said to me, watch these kids while I go out and do whatever.
Oh, no,
you know, she didn't go to the club. So, you know, she didn't do that to me. But today, so many children have pressure being put on them to do more, to be more, to help provide for the family at an earlier age. We understand we're living in a different time. But still, your teenage child, their only job should be being a child and getting their education and becoming better and becoming citizens of the world. You know, I know times are hard, but there are just some things the truth still stands, and our children need to be our children, and they don't need that undue pressure, because all of that leads into, it helps the enemy, you know, throw that depression card, throw that discouragement card, throw that, you know, throw every negative thing at them, and they will eat it up. Because, you know, we're not present. We're not available. See, being responsible also means being available. So we have to be available to our children. So I'm going to ask Mother Mitchell, and we've got Mother Givens up in here, and some of you others, we're going to ask for you to chime on in. And with your comments at this time, hallelujah. And if anybody else would like to have a word, hallelujah, we're going to just let you come on in. All right, Mother Givens, you are in the studio with us live.
Yes. And I just want to say good evening. This was a beautiful topic. I'm so happy that I was told to tune in. And I just thought everything that was said by all of you was beautiful. And it takes a village to raise children. Just because we don't have children, it doesn't mean that we can't help another family. And
that's right.
There's so many things you can teach kids without having to hurt the parent or hurt the child. But I just wish that there would be so many other people outside of what we have been talking about and listening to hear all of the wonderful words that were said today. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I give you all the praise. Love you. God bless you.
Love you, Mother Givens. Love you, Mother
Givens.
We love you so.
Love you.
We love you so.
Yeah.
Mother Mitchell, hallelujah. Come on in the room.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow, and he's the Lord and head of all life. But I love children. I love children. I love God's people, period. But I love children. And after I retire, 2008, I decided I was going to do something else with my life. I didn't want that same fighting that traffic and doing all of that. So I started to substitute teach at the school. And the last 3 years of the four school years I did, I was at the high school. And boy, was that an education for me. I'm 77 years old now, but God has blessed me to be strong. I love the children we had. I think maybe the whole time I was there, there were 5 teenage suicides in that one high school. And it would just hurt me to the core when the kids would come into school and say, Miss Mitchell, you heard about so-and-so, didn't you? And I said, no. What was I supposed to hear? Well, her boyfriend left her, and she killed herself. Said, you meet me downstairs. So this was her best friend. I said, on my lunch break, you come and meet me downstairs on that bench where I'd always go to have my little lunch I would take. And I said, now you tell me that again. I want to make sure I heard that right. she said, yeah, you know, Paul, he left her, and she killed herself.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you listen to me. I'm going to I can't tell her because she, I hope she's with God. I don't know how that all works, but God does, and he's the same God that I serve. Y'all hear me talk about my God in class all the time. I don't care what the school system says. They aren't paying me to do anything but substitute teacher. I don't have no contract with them. I said, you listen to me, baby. That little boy that you're born with, you have a boyfriend right now, you won't even remember his name by the time you get ready to have children and get married. Do you understand me? You put all of your will and might into learning something, so if you don't find a husband, you can take care of yourself. Because, you know, being so hopeless, that child had all, should have had all the hope in the world in her heart to do whatever she needed to do. She was pretty. She was talented. She had all of that. And then she let the old devil trick her into throwing it all away. I said, I will not have it. Now, if I have to turn up at your mama's doorstep and tell her I won't have it, I'll do that too. And if you get out there and some boy takes you off from home and you can't get back home, you tell him my house is your home. And you have him drop you off at my house. I'll get you home. And I just talked to them like they had value. Do you hear me? I talked to them like I talked to Bishop Cook. She had more talent, more value, more all of it. And you have to encourage them to use it. If you don't, they lose it. You know that old saying they used to say that if you don't use it, you lose it. Never been more true than in terms of not having the encouragement and parents being there for them. I had, I'm not ringing my own bell. I'm just trying to put out there some of the things that you might want to think about doing. And have Bible study classes. Just don't try to cram what you learn down their throat. Hear what they think of the Bible. They would all have a verse. And we'd sit around the table, and I'd go around and I'd ask them, what was your verse? Read me your verse. And what did that say to you? What do you think that means? And we would discuss it. They learned the Bible.
Amen.
They didn't have to go to church to learn what God wanted them to know. He gave them to them what he wanted them to know. So I just thank God, and I'm going to stop here, Bishop. I'm going to get out so somebody else can come through.
All right.
Don't be afraid to talk to your children. But also, my son, I have to reach up. My oldest, my daughter, Bishop Cook is my oldest, but my second son, he's tall. He's 6-something. And I have to reach up to hug him. But every time I see him, you better believe he's going to get a hug from his mama as long as I'm here. And he knows I love him. And my I love him too. The one gentleman said, I love them all three to life.
There you go. Amen, Mother Mitchell.
There for them. You got to be there for them, parents. You got to know what's going on. One of mine put a sign on the door, private. You don't have no private room in my house. When you get your home, you put anything on the door you want to.
Okay, Mother Mitchell. All right. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, we yes, Jesus. Okay, we don't need
anything for my life.
Praise God. Praise God. Yes. All right. Pastor Jeff, does anyone else have a comment? There's still a little bit of time. If you have a comment and you would like to come on in and just press one on your keypad, I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. Because hey, this truly is a family program. Amen. Because we need to hear from everyone. We want to hear from everyone.
Yeah.
And if you have any questions, no problem, Mother Mitchell. If you're in the chat room, and you have a question or you have a comment, you may type it now, and I will relay that message. Hallelujah. Well, if there be nothing else, Pastor Scott, we will turn your – oh, hold on. I just seen a hand go up. All right,
yes.
707-6341, you're in the house.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, this is Deacon Brantley.
Hi, Deacon Brantley.
Yes. In the support of my friend and pastor, young minister, Reverend Scott. I am so glad I tuned in. Sister Mattie called me maybe 15 minutes before the program, and I have really enjoyed it. And I think that every family should have been online to hear this information. See, the young families don't have the information, and they've gone too long without it. Myself, and shortly, I understand that you're going to close it out, but I had three girls. And
all
I wonder
right,
why the Lord
right.
didn't. I wonder why the Lord didn't bless me to have boys. I had no boys, but I have 10 grandchildren and 2 great, and they are all girls except three boys. But the Lord have me as a instructor for them. See, my Bible tells me if I can't instruct my family and my children, I can't be a deacon. I shouldn't
Come
be.
Come on. Come
yeah.
on. That's
so
right.
So I have to start at home.
That's why
I've had plenty of trials and tribulations, and the Lord brought me through. And one of the reasons I was raised by my grandfather and grandmother, and so that have carried me through.
Praise
and every
God.
Day haven't been Sunday, I tell you.
Yes,
but
Lord,
he's been good to me, and thank you so much for letting me speak.
Deacon Brantley, it is so good to hear your voice, sir. I have missed you and Mother Susan so much.
Yes,
I love everybody over at Good Shepherd. You know, I really do. And I just pray to God for all three of you. And it's always a blessing when you're in the house.
As they say, Mother Cook, as they said down home, I've been under the weather, but the Lord has brought me back.
Before I give the program back over to Pastor, I want to say to you, Pastor Jeffrey, and to you, Servant Virgil, I'm just so blessed by you two men who took the lead on tonight, because we hear a lot of women have forms on teen suicide, but it blesses my soul that the brothers wanted to step out front. And, of course, Mother Mattie came along with that wisdom. Everybody, you know, has just been a blessing. But it really blesses my soul that God laid it on your heart to do this topic. And I pray that more men will step out and talk about things like teen suicide and mental health and all of the topics that are so relevant and prevalent in our world today. So I just want to let you brothers know, first and foremost, and to you too, Deacon Brantley, all the men in the house, We praise God for you because I believe I want our men to be men. And I believe when the men of God stand and speak the word of God, the people of God are blessed. You know, I'm not taking anything away from myself, you know, or any other woman that is a servant leader for the Most High God. But I'm just saying it's a good thing when the men step up because that's the order that God made it, you know. So, you know, as men and as fathers, they should be stepping up talking about these issues. So, Pastor Scott, I turn your program back over to you, sir, so you can have your final words and close it.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop Cook. And I just want to thank everybody for participating and being in here. One thing I was thinking about is that we have an awesome, we have an incredible hope, and our hope is in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah. Even in our
lives, sometimes life can get in the way. Life can get in the way, but we have to understand what's more important and bring what God wants us to bring and give what God wants us to give whenever whenever time permits. I mean, sometimes we may have something else that we're going to do. Like Sister Matthew was saying, she was buying communion bread and she was, you know, on her way somewhere when somebody was in spiritual distress. What do you do when someone is in spiritual distress? You know, we have to have a word in us. We have to have a word for somebody, you know, and we have to be available for God to use us in the way that he sees fit because we have to look at it as nobody is going to get a word, and we really have to look at it like this. Nobody is going to get a word if I don't say anything. And if each one of us would think like that, nobody is going to get a word unless I open up my mouth for God.
Yes.
If each one of us thought like that, then the word will be spread like God wants it and intended for it to be spread. And we can stop these people from not having hope, you know, because, again, our hope is incredible because it's in Christ Jesus. And we can't allow this life to get in the way of our purpose in Christ. And so,
Amen. Hallelujah.
I truly want to thank you for that word, Virgil. That was a blessing to me. And
Hallelujah. Amen. That testimony.
You know, we learn and we live and we grow by testimony. It says, the word says, we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony.
Your testimony
has helped somebody to overcome suicidal thoughts.
And understand.
Your testimony has allowed somebody to overcome being bullied, being talked about, being put down, being abused, whatever it is, because now they can see that there is a hope in Christ. There is a hope in Christ. And it's better than having a hope in what we see because we hope on things eternal, not just this stuff that again, you know, Virgil, again, I want to thank you, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but I want to ask, would you close us out with a word of prayer?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Father in heaven,
hallelujah.
We thank you. In Jesus' name, we give you the glory, we give you the praise. Even as it is written in your word, O God, that we should be careful for nothing but with prayer and thanksgiving, with supplication, O God, and thanksgiving. Make our requests made known unto you. Father, therefore, we first thank you with the attitude that if you didn't do anything else, you have been God without acting again.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for the older on this line, those in their 70s, 80s. Thank you. Father, even when they wanted to go home and their name was written in the book of life, as Paul said, we are here. We're here for you. You left them here for somebody else, oh God, that we should be selfish, just like you left others here for us. Thank you, that we're here from the youngest to the oldest with a purpose beyond our understanding, even when we don't want to be here sometime, but only home with you. But we pray that you bless this conversation and bless what has taken place,
Lord,
as we do it to your glory, that everyone will understand the worth of themselves, not because we're anything with you, Father, anything without you, but with you, oh God, as you said that we are more important than the birds. If you actually feed the birds and you feed the grass and clothes, how much more important are we, our nephews, our nieces, our sons, our daughters, our acquaintances, the strangers, Father, all of our loved ones, and even the saints of God, we all, oh God, are important in your eye. And we thank you for that because so many times we feel unimportant. But thank you for the love. Thank you for the encouragement from each other. Now, Lord, go with us and order our footsteps. Use us, oh God. Use us up. Use us up all in our separate territories. All in our separate families,
Lord.
And the places that we just ended up. Even Philip, oh God, just happened to join himself to a eunuch, oh God, in the desert place, and they had just happened to be there. Father, help us to just happen to be there for our family and for strangers and for anyone. Father, like the sister said tonight, just happen to be there at a store buying communion. Just happen to be there. Father, help us to happen to be there because we know that we are not just happening to be here, but we're here with purpose from the young to the oldest. Now we claim the blood of Jesus over everyone, forgiver of every wrinkle. If you were to return tonight, Father, may you say to everyone on the phone, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Hallelujah.
Father, now help us, if there's anything we left out, you know it, what we have need of before we pray, and we ask that you have your own way.
Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. What a
beautiful
prayer. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Beautiful. Powerful.
Beautiful prayer. Yes, it was.
Yes.
Powerful.
Thank you, God. Amen. Beautiful.
Hallelujah. You have been listening to Every Man Standing in His Place with your anointed host, hallelujah, Pastor Jeffrey Scott. And on tonight, he was joined by a mighty man of God in the persons of Servant Virgil Carter. We're just so blessed that he was with us. We'd like to thank Mother Mattie, Deacon Braxton, hallelujah, Mother Givens, hallelujah, Mother Mitchell, and Minister Tuggle. We want to thank each and every one of you that were listening via our chat rooms, via your computers, via Skype. We pray that you heard a word on tonight that will truly empower you, impact you, and activate you to live a more abundant life in Christ right now. So it is our fervent prayer that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. May you have a beautiful and blessed weekend. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at Spirit Alive. Good night, everybody. I love you. God bless you.
Thank you, Cousin Virgil.
Love you.
God bless you.
Scott, love you. Say hi to my sister, Michelle.
Yes,
I will.
All of us.
I will.
Love you all. Love you all. God bless you all.
God bless you.
That's wonderful.
Amen.
Amen.